Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Now it is time for our Friday Forum. We are joined by the Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Bay South and the party spokesperson for Justice,
Jim O'Callaghan.
Jim O'Callaghan. I just went completely blank there. My apologies, Jim. Mairead Farrell, Sinn Féin TD for Galway West and the party spokesperson on public expenditure and reform, and Aoife Grace Moore, political correspondent for the Irish Examiner. Lots to talk about, but we should start with the really, really shocking news, Jim, of the murder of he has actually passed away in the last hour, the murder of the former Japanese Prime Minister. This is really, really shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's shocking. It's astonishing. Like, you know, it's a while since we've heard of political assassinations. Japan is a country as well that you don't generally associate with violence or gun crime. But it's just an appalling outrage that a man who's involved in the political process, campaigning in an election, is shot dead, murdered in cold blood. And regrettably, I think it shows that politics can be a dangerous business for people around the world. And it indicates the danger of polarizing politics. We can disagree with people politically, but we don't have to treat our opponents as being our enemies.
Yeah, well said. Mairead Farrell?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, it was absolutely shocking news to hear this morning of Shinzo Abe's brutal killing. And, you know, when Joe Cox was killed, you know, really struck me and it really stuck with me, and it makes me think of that as well, because obviously she was killed in June, and you know, it's only a few weeks later now in July, but it is really, really shocking, and it's very, very upsetting to see that.
Aoife Grace Moore, it is a reminder that politicians, they get a lot of stick online, they get a lot of abuse. Thankfully, this is a pretty rare thing. But occasionally we do get these, and we saw it in the UK relatively recently. We saw it in Sweden a number of years ago. It's shocking.
Yeah, and I was reading today that the mayor of Japan, or mayor of Tokyo, sorry, was shot a number of years ago as well. I think I completely agree with Jim. You know, I do sometimes feel like, especially even in Irish politics, and we're not as bad as America or England, but I do think sometimes, you know, it can get very divisive. And it's so easy to be cynical and so easy to say all politicians, you know, they're all in it for themselves, and I probably used to say stuff like that as well, but you need to remember that there are human beings with feelings and lives and everything else behind this. So I think everyone would do well to not let our politics get as divided and as divisive as all our jurisdictions.
Well said. If you're just joining us, that is a reaction to the news that the former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has died this morning after being, he was shot. He was speaking at a rally of some sort, and a man approached him and shot him at close range. Now let's move on to, I suppose, the big story of the week, Jim O'Callaghan, the demise of Boris Johnson. He went down in flames. I suppose he was always going to go down in flames.
Yeah, I suppose he rose spectacularly and he went down in flames. Listen, you know, from my own point of view and from the point of view of Irish politics, I'm relieved he's gone. I think he had a very disruptive impact on Irish politics. I think he was opportunistically in favour of Brexit. Brexit had a huge impact on the relationship between Ireland and Britain and within the island of Ireland as well. So I just hope that we can move on from this era. And obviously it's a matter for the Tory party as to who they elect as their leader, but it has a consequence for Ireland as to who becomes the Prime Minister. And unfortunately, for the second time, the Prime Minister of the UK is going to be determined by 180,000 people who are members of the Tory party. And the inclination of the membership of that party is to pick somebody who's very right-wing, very antipathetic towards Europe, very jingoistic. And I just hope we don't go down the same route again, that we have candidates who are trying to appease the base in order to get themselves elected, because we're just going to have more turmoil in the relationship with Ireland.
Just as a side point, do you think it's a bad idea for political parties to have the membership pick a leader?
I don't think it's a bad idea, but what happens in the Tory election is unique. They only allowed two candidates go forward to the membership. Like, I think if they allowed four or five candidates to go forward to the membership, or all the candidates go forward to the membership, that would be much better. But when it comes to only two going forward, and you know that the ultimate electors are very right-wing, you're going to have to veer towards very right-wing positions in order to get into the last two. Mm. And that's what I fear is going to happen. It's the persons who are seen to be most Eurosceptic, the person who's issued the most vehement statements about the European Union, who are going to be coming to the last two. And then they get elected and they find themselves in the same position as Boris Johnson, where they're stuck with obstacles that they just can't surround, like signing up to the protocol. It's there. They can't get away from that.
Mairead Farrell, no such concerns for Sinn Féin. You don't have leadership elections in your party. You just picked a leader.
No, we do have leadership elections, and while that might be a funny joke, it's just not simply it's simply just not the reality.
Is it not the reality?
No, of course it's not. We have Ardeshna, where we pick, where we choose our leadership, where we chose our president, our vice president. Where in fact, not only that, but we actually decide our policies, which I think is very good. It's very healthy, and it means that our policies really reflect a broad range of membership, a broad range of different views from different people. And I think that level of democracy is extremely important. But I think in relation to Boris Johnson and what we've seen over the last few days, it's been really something that we've seen over the last few years, and I felt it very strongly with how Boris Johnson, I suppose, gave his resignation speech, was this constant set of theatrics and game playing. And while that can be, in some ways, we're looking at these theatrics, we're looking at this game playing, and it's entertaining for the media, etc. But the reality is that all of this comes across as a farce for many people. But what it means is has been very, very difficult, as Jim said, for the North, for this island, indeed across this island, in terms of the devastating role that they've played in terms of placating the DUP, and it has been devastating for people. Attitude that they've had to the North. So,
are you hopeful, Mairead, that the next leader, though? I mean, how can we know the next leader won't be cut from the same cloth, particularly if it is the membership that ultimately is picking that leader?
Well, we don't know, but what we can do is hope and work with. But what we want to see, obviously, is a leader there that will have a genuine relationship with the North. And I think the key to all of this is that the next leader does not just simply placate the DUP, that they look for the key thing that the North needs right now, and that is to get the Assembly back up and running. We know now it's been 2 months since Michelle O'Neill was elected, and there still is no Assembly. That is absolutely key. So we need his proper leadership from whoever does come in as the next Prime Minister. And we can't have this continuation of this kind of game playing, this kind of theatrics that really just really negatively impacts people here on this island, across this island, and of course people in Britain as well, in terms of the austerity that they impose on people. We've seen the huge rise in terms of food banks across Britain, all those things that are really devastatingly impacting the lives of ordinary people, and we don't want to see that continue.
Aoife Grace-Moore, as a political correspondent, I'm sure you've been glued to the coverage over the last couple of days.
Yeah, as a political correspondent and a Northerner, I would say that what Boris Johnson doesn't know about Northern Ireland could fill about five libraries. I think, what Jem said is correct. The temptation will be to slide to the right, to play to the base, because that's the people in the Conservative Party, that's the base. They've become so right-wing, this very inward-looking Britain now that we're looking at since Brexit. And I think I am delighted, to be honest, that Boris Johnson is gone. I think he has used Northern Ireland as a political football. He played.
Could Liz Truss come in and do exactly the same thing, potentially, as leader?
Definitely, but I do think anyone else other than Boris Johnson will be less emotional and less of a showman. There is only one Boris Johnson for good reason, and I think anyone coming in would be a fresh, as the Taoiseach said yesterday, a fresh approach, a renewed relationship with Ireland and Britain. You know, relations between Ireland and Britain haven't been this bad, I would say, since the 70s and 80s. So I think definitely I would have the same concerns as Jim when it comes to the right wing playing to the base, but I do think that there are many more sensible people in the Conservative Party rather than Boris Johnson.
Okay, let's move on to a different topic. Aoife, I'm going to stay with you. The government lost its majority in the Dáil this week. Does that matter? I mean, I can remember minority governments with, you know, three or four short of majority lasting 5 years. Does it really matter?
Not really, because the fact of the matter is that Nessa Hourigan, Patrick Costello and Joe McHugh are going to vote with the government anyway, even if they have lost the whip. You know, they took stances on certain bills that they couldn't in all good conscience vote on. You know, Joe McHugh could not have went back to Donegal after voting for that bill. And then Joe's got nothing to lose. He's not running again. So it doesn't matter. So they have technically lost their majority, but they know that those TDs are going to vote with the government anyway. And there are certain independent TDs who will vote, who will back the government. So Sinn Féin are going to call this no confidence motion next week. It's the last week of the Dáil. We're all a bit tired. This is the sort of thing that happens towards the end of the term. But I don't think the government's in any real trouble.
Mairead, is this confidence, it's a bit pointless really, isn't it? You're going to lose it.
I really don't think so. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the Sinn Féin TD on this panel, but I actually don't think so. Because, look, I mean, the reality is here is that the government lost its majority because their own TDs could no longer support certain policies. And it really is a complete failure of the government's own politics. And we also see,
there was probably no bill that McHugh could have signed up to, you know, unless there was a blank cheque, he probably couldn't have signed up to it.
I think that's really unfair to say, because like we did see on Wednesday night the huge trauma that people who are impacted by this were going through. And look, I was sitting in the Dáil chamber at the time, and I'm sure Jim was as well, and you could really feel the real hurt and trauma that people were going through. And they did react after the vote. And you know, like, to be honest, I actually found it really upsetting. It really hit me when I was sitting there, because you could feel that hurt and you could feel that heartbreak. So I don't think it's fair to put it that way, just even for the fact that people who are listening to this show today are being impacted by that. But I think the reality is, the reality here is, right, they have lost their majority, and the reason they have literally lost their majority is because of their own TDs saying that they can't back them on certain issues. That's quite big, in my opinion.
It happens all the time. Sinn Féin have lost. You've lost TDs.
Absolutely, we have.
Is that a failure of the party?
This is about a government that is putting through policies and politics that are failing people, and their own government TDs can't support them on that.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
My point is, you could say the same thing about Sinn Féin losing TDs. Is that not a failure of Sinn Féin leadership?
We have lost, absolutely, look, we've lost a TD, but we're talking here about a government that's implementing measures that are impacting on people's lives and that are failing people, and government TDs as a result of that won't back them. So do I think it is important that we have a vote of no confidence next week? Absolutely. Do I want to see us win that? Absolutely. And do I want to be on election footing come next week?
Yeah.
Yes.
You won't be, though, is the point. That you're not going to win the vote. You won't be on the election.
Well, let's see what happens Tuesday. But what I would be saying very clearly to those independents who back government and, you know, I don't think are very clear in relation to that when they're on their local radio stations, is be clear then if you're going to back government. If you're willing to back government on this, be clear with your electorate, be clear with your constituents, and then stand proudly to that.
Okay, all right.
But then they should be very open and honest on that.
Jim O'Callaghan, are you concerned about the fact that government has lost its majority?
Well, we've lost the majority, but we haven't lost any votes, and that's the important thing. And when you look at the other people who are there in Dáil Éireann, I think we will always get in the next year or two a majority in favour of significant government votes. Like, we've lost Joe McHugh, that was regrettable. We lost Mark McSherry, that's regrettable. And Nessa and Patrick Costello. But I believe all four of them will support the government on most issues, unless it's an issue of conscience for them or a deep constituency concern. There's also a whole series of independents there that we don't talk about who don't want an election, and they just don't want an election because it's personally inconvenient. They don't want an election because they think we don't want this country to sink into the political chaos that happens in places like Britain. They want to see a stable government last for 4 or 5 years, get a job work done, and the people will ultimately have their say.
Okay, I'll come back to you in a second, Jim, but Aoife, could the government lose more TDs? I mean, obviously, winter with price rises and so on could bring a lot of discontent. Is there a potential to lose more TDs?
There's always a potential to lose more TDs, and as Jim said, it usually comes down to a constituency issue, something that they vote on in their conscience with. You know, that's why they lost Inyessa Hourigan and Patrick Costello, because, you know, the National Maternity Hospital was so, you know, so divisive for people, and they felt they couldn't vote against it. Same with Joe McHugh. Like, the Micah issue in Donegal is all people talk about, and like we saw, as Mairead said, the hurt and pain that people are being put through. It was quite upsetting to see the people in Dáil Éireann when the vote was passed, knowing that they're probably going to have to put 30, 40 grand to rebuild their house when they're being told it's 100% redress, and it's not. So
it's going to cost about 3 billion to the state or 4 billion to the state. It's huge.
But if your building regulations are not good enough, then the buck stops with the state. That's the fact of the matter.
Okay, Jim O'Callaghan, what's going on in Fianna Fáil? Were you organising secret meetings of backbenchers during the week?
Yeah, it was a real secret meeting. It was downstairs in the parliamentary party meeting. I was dressed as an undercover elephant. Nobody spotted me going in there. We had a meeting of backbench Fianna Fáil TDs and senators downstairs in the PP room, organised a couple of days in advance. We all had a good discussion about party policy, party direction, concerns we had about it. Part of the reason people were happy to be there is sometimes at parliamentary party meetings on Wednesday evening, we don't have an opportunity to get an opportunity as backbenchers to talk amongst ourselves, because I suppose it's very much directed towards ministers who are there on those occasions. But listen, this is very complimentary to the work that we're doing in government, and we think it's a useful process, and I'd say we'll meet again.
Yeah, okay, like maybe there's nothing conspiratorial about it, but there's discontent in the Fianna Fáil ranks, you can't deny that.
Well, sorry, there isn't anything conspiratorial about it, notwithstanding the efforts of some of the media.
I said that, but yeah.
I think it's important to emphasise that. Listen, there's concern in Fianna Fáil as to how we're performing in the polls, being frankly with you.
Does the party have an identity?
Yeah, of course it does. Part of the reason I'm in Fianna Fáil is a strong centre-ground national party, believes in reunification of the country, believes in enterprise, believes in supporting those who are less vulnerable. We have a whole record of what our identity is. And I think as TDs, backbench TDs, we've a responsibility to espouse that and to let the public know about it. But listen, TDs meeting is nothing that is indicative of conspiracy. It is a concern that we have. And listen, it's a concern I know that's shared by people in senior ranks.
Was Micheál Martin as sanguine about it? He seemed to be banging the phones a lot when he came back from the Ukraine to the...
Not that I'm aware of. I saw him being asked a question on yesterday. He seemed perfectly relaxed about it.
He didn't ring you, no?
No, he didn't. But I wouldn't expect him to ring me. Yeah. I wouldn't expect him to be ringing all 30 members of the backbenchers who are there. But I think it's a positive development, and I know journalists sometimes get disappointed that they don't have the political excitement that exists in London. I apologise to yourself and Aoife for that.
But
it's a worthwhile process, and I think we'll do it again.
I think we can all do without the excitement that Boris Johnson brings to the table. Aoife, is Jim right? Is this much ado about nothing?
I think it is, to be honest. Notwithstanding, I don't mean this in any insult to Jim, but the fact is, there was once nearly going to be a heave against Micheál Martin, and there wasn't. There doesn't really seem to be any front runner for who wants to take over the job. I spoke to the Taoiseach yesterday. He said that he plans to lead Fianna Fáil into the next election. I personally don't think that's going to happen, but I do think any heave against him is a while away. There is a lot of discontent in the ranks of Fianna Fáil because of their showing in the polls. Now, don't get me wrong, they have improved a lot in the polls. You know, when we were like knee deep in the pandemic, they were at shocking levels in the polls. Micheál Martin, I think, has found his footing. He's got a bit more confidence and he's become more popular with the public. But personally, I think the Fianna Fáil will be in government after the next election, but I think they will be propping up a Sinn Féin government.
Okay, Mairead Farrell, I'd say that's probably music to your ears, is it?
Well, look, I suppose I thought that analogy by Jim was quite funny, of them dressed as an elephant running into a room. But look, I think, to be perfectly honest, in relation to all that, I really couldn't care less if a number of Fianna Fáil TDs meet and have discussions. But look, I mean, obviously we're looking to be in the next government, and that's why I'm hoping that people will support our motion of no confidence, just to plug that back in there next Tuesday, and then we can be on election footing. So And I suppose that's the thing. And for me, it's about tackling the real issues of the day. Like today, you know, on Galway FM, they were discussing about a man in his late 70s being on a hospital trolley for 7 days in Galway University Hospital. Like, that's the kind of crisis situation that people are literally facing at the moment. And that's why I do think that we need urgent action from government. And I think that those are probably the key issues that any TDs of any party that come together and have discussions should probably be talking about.
Okay, we will leave it there. My thanks to Sinn Féin TD for Galway West and the party spokesperson on public expenditure and reform, Mairead Farrell. To Jim O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Bayside and the party spokesperson on justice, and to Aoife Grace Moore, political correspondent for the Irish Examiner. That is my lot for today. A reminder that all the items for today are uploaded as podcasts and you can listen to it on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.